Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone, a show about sports and faith, how the two come together and lives being touched. Right now, discover how people in sports walk in faith with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on 1250 AM, The Fan.
'Cause I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
When Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight, you pick 12 outsiders, nobody would.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan. I am Mike McGivern, and I've got to tell you, I'm getting a little tired of saying this, but I'm flying solo again this week. It's been over a year. I don't even know if Pastor Ken Keltner wants to be my co-host anymore, but I want him in studio. I can tell you that. I see him every Sunday, talk to him during the week, listen to him preach. But, man, to have him in as my co-host, I look forward to getting him back, and hopefully it's sooner than later. I'm excited about today's show. We tried to do this a couple of times, and the equipment here sometimes at Entercom Milwaukee does not – it doesn't work all the time when I'm trying to do Faith in the Zone. If I'm recording any of my other shows, no problem, man. But it comes to Faith in the Zone, every once in a while the equipment doesn't work. And this man has – he has had a lot of patience with me, and I really appreciate it. He is Ebo Elders. He's a former professional boxer. He's the founder of Reality Ministries and author of a book, The Great Comeback. And we'll talk a lot about that book throughout the show. Ebo, thanks again for your time today, and I appreciate your patience, brother.
Yeah, hey, Mike. Thank you for having me on the show. It's been fun just in our talks and getting this together. It's been fun.
Hey, I got to tell you, Ebo, for a couple of years, and obviously I'm not great at what I do sometimes, but if I'm looking for guests, I will Google, you know, professional athlete, Christian, you know, I have had guys that fish for a living. I've had wrestlers. I've had all that. And you're the guy that kept popping up when it comes to boxing. And I was like, man, I got to find this guy. And I want to thank Matt Mayer. And we replayed Matt's show last week, and I got a lot of comments again. The first time he came on, my phone lit up. Last week, we replayed that show because it's such a great story of redemption. And I want to thank Matt for introducing you and I, and I really appreciate him and his story. Hey, Ebo, let's start a little bit with kind of where you grew up and how you got into boxing.
Yeah, so I grew up in Southwest Atlanta, and my dad dreamed of having a son one day, and he had determined well before I was ever born that his son would be a fighter. And I have a sister that's 7 years older, and my dad just always wanted a boy and always wanted a boy that would fight. So when I was born, I had a lot of complications. I was 3 months premature, just over 3 pounds, tons of problems, and doctors told my parents I could never play contact sports. You know, but my dad, he was determined to have a son who would be a champion boxer. So as soon as I could stand up, he started teaching me the sweet science.
Man, That I tell you what, that is awesome. And he is he still with us, Ebo?
Yeah, he is. He actually, he just had his 72nd birthday.
Boy, he must have been so proud. I watched a number of your fights because I and my wife is Terry is listening. And what happens is if it's, you know, getting a little bit later in the evening and she's tired or she wants to go watch, you know, something she watches on like Lifetime or whatever she watches that I really have no interest, she goes to bed and I go right to, okay, wait, is there something on with boxing? I do enjoy watching some MMA stuff. And that's kind of what I do at night. And I had a chance, Ebo, to watch a number of your fights. And we'll talk about for sure one of them because there was a fight on, I believe it was on Showtime, that was unbelievable. And that's a big part, I think, of what we'll talk about because you winning that fight, that was a God thing. I believe that. And I think you believe that as well. Hey, were you a multi-sport athlete growing up or were you known as a boxer?
You know, from a very early age, I knew boxing would be my career, that would be my path. Even as early as 5 years old, preschool, I wrote, we still have the paper. The teacher would ask, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I wrote, I love boxing. I want to be a champion. Of course, it was misspelled, but the passion was there. And so I knew early on what I was going to do, but I've had lots of other interests. I was a good football player. I raced motocross. I was nationally ranked in motocross. Road race street bikes a little bit. Played drums as well. And I've been in residential construction my whole life as well. So lots of interest. But we always knew boxing would be my route for at least for a professional career.
You know, Ebo, I grew up, my father was a bricklayer and a mason. And he had six kids, four boys. And he's been gone a long time. But he told us boys that the worst word in the English language was lazy. Don't ever let him call you lazy. And I remember as a seven-year-old, him saying, hey, look, when you die on that gravestone, it better not say here lies a lazy man. And I thought, man, I'm seven. I don't even know where my socks are. What? But that was something that he really instilled in us not to be lazy. And I can tell you that, you know, the McGivern kids have scattered a little bit, a couple of them down in Florida. None of them are lazy. And he made sure because he got up every day. And here in the state of Wisconsin, think about being a bricklayer and a mason in January, outdoor.
And that's hard.
Man, it was hard. And he had those big sausage fingers, you know, Ebo? Those sausage fingers. And when he gave you a little whack on the head in church or, you know, you're coming out of school and you don't get to the car quick enough, man, it would ring your bell. He could do it with just the snap of a finger every once in a while. And he certainly had that I'm going to work every day. I'm going to take care of my family. And it doesn't matter what's going on in my life. I'm going to get up every day. I'm going to get my lunch pail. I'm going to go to work. And he worked hard. And he was so proud of the stuff he did, Ebo.
Well, you know, Mike, that's interesting you say that. You know, laziness is something, you know, a lot of people, I mean, I've had people recently talk to me and say, you know, I'm just so lazy and not in a derogatory, not referring to it in a derogatory way, but almost like it's okay. And, you know, laziness, the Bible in the parable of the talents, God gets to the ones that he judges, the servants that are judged there. He says, you wicked, lazy servants. And, you know, God is, you know, he, abhors laziness. And there's a reason for that. You know, we're called to be hard workers, you know, and be diligent in what he's called us to. And so from a very early age, I learned the value of hard work, dedication, commitment, and it paid off well in the ring. It sure did.
Well, not only in the ring, but what, you know, when I talked to you last week, you said, hey, you know, I have this construction company, and you sent me a picture of a home that you guys were doing, and I don't know people that I don't know anybody that works harder than somebody in that industry. So you can't be afraid of work. And I think that that's such a compliment to somebody when somebody else thinks, man, that dude does not, he doesn't shy away from getting up and going to work.
Yeah. You know, I've just, it's been ingrained in me since such an early age. And I've worked, 60-hour week since I was, a teenager, and it's always been that way, and it may always be that way if the Lord, as long as the Lord makes me physically able, I'll keep working,
Amen, amen to that. Hey, growing up, and I've done a little bit of research on the show a couple of times because, again, I appreciate your patience with some of the equipment here. You had 139 wins as an amateur boxer. Was there a time within that span that you thought, okay, I'm pretty good at this. Maybe I should start getting paid to do it?
Yeah, the plan for most amateur boxers is to have a lengthy amateur career, just to the point that that you're ready to turn pro. Because, pro boxing, the best amateurs in the world can be most of the pros in the world, but there's a difference going from amateur to pro if you're at the very top, and you've got to be ready for that. You need to be seasoned and kind of come into your own as a fighter. And most amateurs know when that happens, when it's time to turn pro, and then age, and also getting your worth as a pro athlete, getting to a point where you know your worth is maximized before you turn pro. That way you turn pro, you get a signing bonus, you make more money for your fights. And, boxing, it's a sport, but it's also a business. And a lot of that comes into just figuring when the best timing is to go into the pros.
Hey, when, again, reading a number of articles with you, when you were scheduled to fight Juan Diaz and then Diaz canceled, that had to be a tough blow because that was, you had just come off that win, and I talked about it a little bit earlier against Courtney Burton, which if you want to watch a fight that you don't think he's got anything left, and something happens and he ends up winning the fight, and then watch what happens about 30 seconds after the win. Because that was the coolest part. First of all, I thought, man, they might want to throw throw the towel in. I really thought, Ebo, I thought, man, I don't know if this guy's going to survive this fight. And you come back to win it, and 30 seconds as people are going nuts that you won the fight, you kneel next to Courtney and pray with him. And I just thought, what a great moment for guys like me to be able to witness that.
Yeah, that was an incredible moment in my career, and as I look back on it, I see that as the apex, the top of my career was that night, and God used everything to get me to that fight, and then beyond that boxing match after the Courtney Burton fight, everything was used to get me out of boxing, and interestingly, Steve Farley called that the greatest moment in showbox history. That fight was nominated for Fight of the Year and Knockout of the Year on Showtime in 2004. And I have a message that God birthed in me that spoke to me in that fight. And actually, it's called The Five Keys. It's called The Great Comeback, Five Keys to Your Comeback. And I've shared that message, well over 1,000 times since that fight, and it's been used to change people's lives. It really has.
Hey, Eva, last question before we get to a break. If you were, let's say, a junior in high school at this point, and I told you, hey, look, you here are the things that are going to happen to you as a boxer, which I could name all this stuff, including a silver medal for the United States in the 1998 Goodwill Games. But if I said to you, look, you are going to be an author, and you're going to go out and speak to men and churches about your life. If I told you that as a junior in high school, what would you have said to me?
Yeah, I don't know if I would have given it much thought. That was definitely not the path that I had planned out. And really, it never would become the one that I had planned out. It would be one that God would bring to fruition. And certainly against my desires at first, even. But there's no better place to be than the will of God. And I'm confident that's where I'm at. So I'm very content where we're at, where I'm at, out of boxing, doing God's work, teaching the Bible, preaching. That I'm very content there because, like I said, there's no better place to be than the will of God.
Hey, guys, I want you, if you get a chance, go to EboElder.com. EboElder.com or TheGreatComeback.com. And both will get you the website, get you more information on Ebo and about this book that we're going to talk about. And I want to just quote Ebo. He said, "Today I'm a hope dealer. I write books, share how awesome Jesus is, and teach the Bible. I'm also married to my high school sweetheart, and we have four daughters." Four daughters. I'm going to start praying even harder for Ebo. I have to be honest with you. I've got four grandsons, and, I get to go visit them. Three of them live 10 minutes to the west, and one lives 15 minutes to the south. So I get to see these boys all the time. But then I get to leave and go to my own house. You have four daughters, and I don't know if he ever wanted a son to be able to teach boxing like his dad did. But the Lord has blessed him with four beautiful daughters and married his high school sweetheart. Our guest for the entire hour today, he is Ebo Elders. Again, former professional boxer, founder of Reality Ministries, and the author of the book, The Great Comeback. Coming back from abuse, depression, divorce, and defeat to find victory, freedom, and an amazing life. Go to EboElder.com or TheGreatComeback.com. This is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM. The Fan.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone, an inside look at people in sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Bayview Shade and Blind. Here are your hosts, Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Kellner, only on 1250 AM, The Fan.
I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
When Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a song.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan. I am Mike McGivern, again, flying solo this week, our special guest. He is Ebo Elders. Again, former professional boxer, founder of Reality Ministries, and he's the author of the book, The Great Comeback. And I promise, we're going to get to that book because I've read pieces of it, and there is something in that book for all of us. And The Great Comeback is a book that I would just encourage guys to listen about it, and there's going to be somebody, either it's you or somebody in your life, that part of what we talk about in segment 3 and 4 about Ebo's life is going to ring out to you. I know it has to me. The book is about coming back from abuse, depression, divorce, and defeat to find victory, freedom, and amazing life. Again, EboElder.com. Name of the book, The Great Comeback. Ebo, I love the second segment for me on Faith in the Zone is always the best. The first segment, we'll talk about your upbringing, where you were, born and raised, and I'll talk a little smack. Look, I'm going to 9 Round a couple times a week, so I put the gloves on. Don't you come to Wisconsin. We'll have to spar for a couple of rounds. And you go, yeah, I'm never getting to Wisconsin. So I never have to worry about backing any of that stuff up. We're in a different weight class, by the way. Either I'd have to drop a bunch of weight or you'd have to gain a bunch of weight for us to ever have to do that, just so you know. Hey, let's talk a little bit about your testimony. And I know, on this show we talk about guys, the worst thing they ever do is steal a candy bar in their lives. And then there are guys that have had quite the journey, and I'm one of those. I can't throw stones at anybody's house because I have so much glass in my own house. I've been through – I've caused way too much trouble, and I'm you know, interested to hear kind of your journey, and if you could share your testimony with us, that'd be great.
Yeah. So, you know, early on, unexplainably, God gifted me with faith. And I would say I was about 7 or 8 years old. I just knew that the Bible was God's word. I knew that Jesus was God's son. He died in my place on the cross, and that he rose from the dead. And I believed the gospel at a very early age, and I was saved early on, 8 years old probably. And I got baptized at 8 years old, told my parents I wanted to get baptized. They asked me, why do you want to do that? I said, because Jesus wants me to. And so I had a great start to my walk with the Lord. But like, you know, many young people, I got into high school and things began to change. You know, I never built a foundation in God's word as a young person. I wasn't taught the value of God's word and how much I really needed it in my life to lead my life and to be the foundation I stood upon. And because of that lack of a foundation, when I got into high school and, you know, temptation and all the things that come with life, I got way off track. And, through high school, got in all the typical high school things. But God had a plan for my life that was sovereign over all the bad choices I would make, all the mistakes I would make. God still had a plan for my life. And that's something I take great rest in, is knowing that, you know, even though I will make mistakes and I will make bad decisions and I will, you know, at times do the wrong things, you know, because I'm human, God still has a plan. And you know, Romans 8:28 is a familiar passage, but it says that God works all things together for good for those who love the Lord. Amen. And are called according to his purpose. And I rest in that, and I see God's hand over my entire life, even my mistakes, even the sin in my life. So me and my wife got married right out of high school. 3 weeks after we graduated high school, we got married. And we had a perfect future planned out for us, but we resisted God's will in our life. We neither one of us had a relationship with the Lord. And it opened the door for the enemy to wreak havoc and destruction. And about a year and a half later, we were divorced. I noticed a void in my life. I felt so empty, so lost, so hopeless. And instead of going to Jesus to complete me and to satisfy and to fulfill, I went into the world. Began using drugs and, you know, cocaine, ecstasy, meth, and all types of things, and abusing alcohol and sexual immorality, and just believing that those things of the world would satisfy. And interestingly, the more I lived that lifestyle, the emptier I became, the more hopeless I became. And about 2 years of that life living, just a godless life. And I reached the end of my rope, man. One night I got down on my knees and in my house and cried out, I got to find Amy. Yeah, not I got to find Jesus. I got to live for Jesus, but I got to find Amy. I thought Amy could fulfill me. That was my ex-wife at the time. And I found out where she was at and went to her, pleaded with her friend Katie to tell Amy I needed to see her, I needed to, you know, hold her hand, I needed to hear her voice again. And that night, Amy refused to even see me, told me to get out of her life. Oh. I went home and I sat on the side of my bed and just analyzed all the dreams I had, dreams of, you know, boxing success, dreams of a family, dreams of children. You know, we named all of our kids in high school. Before we were even married, we named our kids. And I sat there on the bed, side of the bed, and just became so hopeless. I pulled a gun out, put it to my head, And I was ready to end my life right there. And but as I started to pull the trigger, I heard a still, small voice. And I knew it was God. And he said, Ebo, if you don't quit, I'll do what you can't do.
Oh,
and that was it. And but I knew God was with me. I knew he would restore all I had lost, all that I had destroyed, if I would just surrender my life to him and live for him. And it was that night that I began taking steps towards Jesus. You know, it was a long road from there. I mean, if you read my book, you know, it was several years. I mean, we're all on a journey, and it never ends till we go till we end this. You know, leave these bodies.
Right. So,
But God did restore everything. It wasn't long after that he put me back into boxing, and you know, I would go to number 5 world ranking and do win 3 championship belts and fight on a reality show in 2006. God did great work in my career and through my career, and he brought me back into my life. And
amen.
We got remarried. We actually celebrated last night our 20th anniversary.
Oh man, that's awesome! That is awesome.
Yeah, we've been remarried 20 years, and he gave us the kids. Man, those kids we picked out names for. He gave us 4 daughters: Maddie, Abby, Gabby, and Addie.
That's great. I've got like tears coming down my cheek. I love the fact, and look, I don't know where I'd be without my wife Terry, who. You know, she is just as strong a Christian woman as strong a Christian as I know. And she'd prayed for me a ton. And I've told this story a bunch. When I needed to stop what I was doing, and I went down to Eastside Baptist Church, and that's where she was going. And I walked in, and I knew the pastor there a little bit because I'd meet him on Easter and meet him on Christmas. And I walked in at, 9 o'clock on a Sunday night after a Sunday night service and nobody else in the church. And I said, hey, I do you got a minute? He goes, yeah, what's going on? I said, I need some help. He said, I knew you'd come. And I said, what? He said, I knew you would come. I didn't know when, but your wife has been praying for you for years. So I knew you'd come. And I'm telling you, we're down in Florida a couple weeks ago, Ebo, my oldest brother, right in front of me, said, hey, thanks for not leaving him. You know, most people would have left him a long time ago. And he was being funny, but he was right. He was right. You know, I thank God she did not, because I'm not quite sure where I'd be. So you and I, man, godly women in her life has just really helped.
Yeah, man. The Bible says that when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. Certainly, the Lord's blessed me with a great wife, and it's been a journey, man. We're 20 years remarried, and neither one of us really surrendered our life to the Lord until we had been remarried for a few years. So, we're both really stubborn, and we make things more difficult than they have to be. But it's a lot like Acts chapter 9 says, it's hard to resist God. It's hard to kick against the goat. So,
yeah. Well, I'm looking at a picture, a recent picture of you and your wife and your daughters. And I believe it's recent. Do you have grandkids yet?
We're about to have a grandson.
And that's the picture that I'm looking at. And people get sick and tired of me saying this, but you understand you all kicked your coverage a little bit, right?
Yeah, man.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got an incredible family.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I'm the president of that club, but you can come in. We've got some room for you because Amy's just beautiful and these daughters are just beautiful. And man, oh, man, I'm so happy. Can I ask, and if it's personal, it's okay, but she had said no to you that first time when you said, look, I need to talk to you. What changed? What changed that she said, okay, come on, let's talk?
Yeah, so this is a part of the story most people don't get a chance to hear. Now, if you read the book, you'll get this and more. You'll get all the details. But, so we were divorced for about a year and a half, and ended up, we spent one night together, and we had a very brief reunion. We thought things were going to work out. That one night together, our oldest daughter was conceived. We didn't see each other for 9 more months, and I totally, out of sight, out of mind, I turned pro during that period of time. My life was, moving fast. And I remember I got the phone call September 2nd, 2000. I fought in Las Cruces, New Mexico on ESPN Friday Night Fights. Main event, had, a third-round knockout. And I come home, and the next morning, I got a phone call from Amy. She said, "Ebo, I want you to know Maddie was born last night."
Oh.
And in my, I was so caught up in my world. I hadn't thought about Amy or our baby or any of that in nearly 9 months. And I said, "Maddie who?"
Oh.
she goes, "Our daughter." And it just hit me. I mean, it's hard to explain how you could forget you're about to be a dad.
Yep.
But it was the most interesting moment, one of the most interesting moments of my life, when I knew I was a dad right then. And it was a journey. You got to grab the book. It goes into the details and how it all transpired. But that God used a baby to bring me and Amy back together. And, it's what he does. You know, he gives a child a life that brings life and births life for a family and a ministry. And my daughter, Maddie, she's the greatest blessing. I mean, there's no greater blessing than Maddie. Maddie Wise now. She's married to a godly young man, and they're about to have a little boy. Any day she's going to have a little boy, and we're going to have a grandson.
Amen. There was a guy in Faith in the Zone a while back. He's a pastor in North Carolina who said this: "Had I known how cool it was to be a grandfather, I would have skipped the parenthood thing altogether." And I'm telling you, Ebo, you are in that. Excuse me. That little boy is going to be spoiled, and there's nothing you can do about it, because you and Amy. I look, these four grandsons that I have, the youngest one is Liam Michael McGivern, a little Irish name, and my son sent me a little video of him saying "Papa" for the first time.
Oh, wow.
I didn't respond. I jumped in the car, ran to the toy store, bought a couple of, like a basketball and a couple of things, and drove to his house, knocked on the door. My son said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Are you kidding? I almost bought him a pony." Like, here you go. And yeah, it's awesome. We were talking to Ebo Elders. We keep talking about this book. Name of the book, The Great Comeback. Two ways for you to take a look at it. Go to EboElder.com or TheGreatComeback.com. And I'll just tell you this, and this is right from the back of the book. Maybe you need a comeback from a forgotten dream. Maybe it's a comeback from struggle, hardship, or loss. Maybe it's a comeback from depression, anxiety, guilt, or regret. Maybe you need a comeback in your marriage. You need a financial comeback, or maybe a comeback to forgiveness. That's the one that got me. Or maybe a comeback to forgiveness. It's The Great Comeback. Ebo Elder shows you how to come back from life struggles. Matt Merritt, who we talked about, former pro soccer player, and great story of redemption, wrote this. Ebo takes his guard down, and he invites the reader into the ring of his life, and with heart wide open, with every wound, is it apparent that the world's bandages do nothing to heal his soul. Ebo's life is proof that their world sees failure, God sees future. And when you place your faith in Jesus, even brokenness brings forth blessedness. And I've already ordered the book, and I'm going to order it for a couple other guys that I know that are struggling with some stuff. And the easiest way to do that is go to EboElder.com, TheGreatComeback.com. When you're on that website and you're ordering that book, there is a place to help him. And we're going to talk about his ministry next. But there's a place, a giving tab, that if you're feeling led to help him continue this ministry, and it's a great ministry, We're going to talk to him about some of that on the other side of the break. But there is a place on that website, again, thegreatcomeback.com or EboElder.com. This is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone, an inside look at people in sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Bayview Shade and Blind. Here are your hosts, Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Kellner, only on 1250 AM, The Fan.
I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
When Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a...
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan. I am Mike McGivern, and our guest, Ebo Elders. And again, I want to thank Matt Merritt for introducing him and I. Ebo is a professional, former professional boxer. Again, founder of Reality Ministries and author of the book, The Great Comeback. Coming back from abuse, depression, divorce, and defeat to find victory, freedom, and an amazing life. And certainly, you know, happy anniversary to him and Amy, 20 years. You know, they'd gotten divorced early, right out of high school, if you listen to that second segment. And now 20 years in and growing stronger, I think, every day. Hey, let's talk about your ministry, if we can, and what kind of things that you're doing. You know, we had Tony Dungy on a long time ago, and he talked about utilizing our platform, whatever platform the Lord has for you. If you work at, you know, a gas station or you're the president of a company, utilize the platform that he has given you to spread the word. And you certainly have done that, Ebo, and I'm... You know, reading some of the testimonials on your website, I loved this one. Pastor Marty Burroughs from Northwood Church in Spring, Texas, said, "Ebo Elder is a man who you can trust to deliver a strong message of inspiration and hope. His story is one of love, conflict, addiction, fame loss, depression, and redemption. The heart of this ex-boxer is to fight for the souls of those that are heading down the path of destruction." And I thought, man, I don't know if you could write a better testimony for somebody. So I appreciate Pastor Marty Burroughs saying that about you coming to speak at their church and him hearing you. And I've listened to a number of some of the speeches that you've given, some of the talks that you've given at different places, and really encouraging, Ebo, and the Lord has just really blessed you with a capability of reaching people that are listening and watching you.
Well, thank you, Mike. I appreciate that. Yeah, you know, like you mentioned, Tony Dungy, what did he say? You got to use your platform?
Yes.
Well, you know, your platform and your gifting. What is your gifting? What gift has God given you?
Amen.
And, you know, the Lord started our ministry back in 2007 as a primarily testimony-based evangelism, traveling evangelist. And you know, my story is it's a powerful story of God's redemption and a broken life and how God can restore a broken marriage and breathe life into that which is dead. And that's what God did. And you know, my story has impacted lots of people. God has used it to save many. And I would say I've probably spoken at well over 1,000 different venues, events, churches, public schools, colleges, you name it. And it is about being faithful to use the platform and faithful to use the gift God has given. Through the years, God has transitioned me from an evangelist to a Bible teacher, and you know, I fell in love with the Bible about 13 years ago. Just fell in love with the Bible and the impact it had in my life and for my walk. You know, I was saved and knew Jesus and was identified as a Christian for decades, but I never had a foundation in the Word of God. And that is what transformed my life. you know, somewhere between 10 and 12 years ago.
Hey, what is your favorite book in the Bible? And do you have one, or are they, you know, depending on which book you're reading, you know, it's kind of like guys that like baseball, basketball, football, what season is it? And I'm wondering, mine is the book of Ephesians, and it's the first real book that I was digging into and talking about putting the full body of armor on and being a better husband and a better father. And I'm wondering for you, is there a go-to book?
You know, I like what you said about, it's whatever season I'm in.
Right.
Because really, it is wherever I'm teaching at the time, that happens to probably be my favorite book. But, you know, for some practical reasons, I love the creation account in Genesis 1 through 3. Just so much truth and just so much packed in three chapters. I love the creation account. I love science apologetics. My faith was increased more when I studied and taught through the creation account than any other time in my life. So I love that. I love, I love prophecy. I love the book of Revelation, a book that many people shy away from for various reasons. I love the book of Revelation.
Yeah.
I love the Gospel of John.
Hey, we just got done at Brookside Baptist Church for a year and a half going through the book of Revelation. And I'll tell you what, part of that, Ebo, and look, I'm 100% Irish, right? Tough guy. I used to be a tough guy. And that book scares me. That book really, there's parts of that, man, I was up at night thinking about, and that book scared me. I'm glad that you brought that up, because I think that's a book that, you know, people need to start paying attention to in the world that we're living in.
Yeah, you know, it is a good thing to have a healthy, righteous fear of God. And that's, you know, it's a reverence for God. And I think that's one thing in our nation we've drifted from, is a reverence for God. You go to Middle Eastern countries where Christianity is, you can lose your life for being a Christian. And there's a reverence for God that I think, largely speaking, we don't have here in America, because it's been so easy, and I say easy with air quotes, it's been easy in America to be a Christian, but it's getting more difficult.
Yes.
And I think that's a good thing for the church, actually.
He is Ebo Elder. Again, the name of the book, and I can't recommend you go to EboElder.com more. And I've said this with a couple of websites in the past. Don't think that you're going to be able to go to that website and you've got an appointment in 10 minutes. You got to get out the door, because you're going to be late for the appointment. I'm telling you, don't call and yell at me that you were late for something because you started watching the videos and reading about Ebo Elder. But it is a really good website, and you get this this feeling that this is a man who's been through a lot, and he doesn't shy away. He's an open book. In fact, one more testimony about him coming to speak somewhere. Tim Bach, Icon City founder, said this, and I love this. Ebo Elder has entered a new ring, not for money, but for souls. His world-class skills as a fighter captivate crowds young and old, but his ability to lead them to the cross has captivated me. And boy, what a great testimony that Tim Bach has given Ebo Elder. We're going to get to a break. Other side of the break, I've got a couple of questions. It's going to be a short segment. One of them, if he could get one more round with one of the fights, and he's had a lot of fights as an amateur and a lot as a pro, if he could get one more round back, who would it be against? And we're going to ask him that. And two other questions I have, but we'll be able to get to them. This is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Back to Faith in the Zone, a journey on how people in sports walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Here are hosts Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner, only on 1250 AM, The Fan. 'Cause I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see,
nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. When Moses had stage
fright. Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern. What a great guest Ebo Elders is. Again, former professional boxer. He is founder of Reality Ministries and the author of the book, The Great Comeback. And I told you this about going to that website. Be careful. Make sure that you have a few minutes to go through it because it catches you. And I've been on it a lot looking at it. And this book, if you need to come back from a number of things, anxiety or guilt or regret, if you maybe need a comeback to forgiveness, that's my favorite part where he says a comeback to forgiveness, go to this website, EboElder.com or TheGreatComeback.com and pick up that book. Hey, we only have a short amount of time, Ebo. When you talked in the first segment about as a 7 or 8 year old, you know, knowing that the Lord died on the cross for our sins. Do you know who taught that to you as a kid that age, or was it something that you picked up? And I'm wondering who's going to be waiting for you in heaven to say welcome.
Yeah, you know, it has to be just from a couple of the churches we attended. You know, we weren't a Christian family at that point, you know, but we attended church occasionally. And it must have just been attending church and, you know, the seed of God's word being planted in the soft heart of a young boy. You know, Jesus says, come to him like children. That's exactly what I did.
Man, I whoever that was, I hope that you get to thank that person one day. Hey, this question of if you could, you know, we can't, you know, and I ask a lot of athletes, if I could get one uniform out of the closet and you get one more game. But I thought if I could somehow, you know, go back in time and say, look, you get one more round or one more fight, something like that. Is there something that pops in your head as far as, man, I wish that I would have done something different in that fight or against that guy?
Yeah, you know, that's a really easy question right there. So, you may think I'd go back to one of my three pro losses, you know, and in the natural aspect of things, that's where I would go, to one of my three pro losses, because I could have, you know, slipped that punch or kept my guard up better or whatever. But I know that God is sovereign over my entire life, and I see every loss as a pro, as a benefit to my life, that he used it for good. So I'm immediately taken back to my amateur career where he did the same thing, but there was one fight in particular that I wasn't the best I could be, but I hadn't prepared, I hadn't trained like I knew I should have. And there's only been one fight in my entire pro or amateur career that's the case, and it was my second fight against a guy named Dmitry Pavlichenkov. He was the Russian Olympian. And we first fought in the 1998 Goodwill Games, Madison Square Garden, HBO, in 1998. We fought, and I beat him in the first fight. And we fought again, I don't know how long, it was about a year later, I think. We fought at Foxwoods in Connecticut. And I took him lightly. I said, yeah, I beat him once, I'll beat him again. And I went in unprepared. And if there's any fight I could do again, it'd be that one.
Man, that's awesome. That's a great answer. He was 20, and I didn't mention this. He was 22-3 as a pro boxer. And we talked about how many wins he had as an amateur, 170. So he was used to winning. And now, when you read the testimony and you listen to him, He's going to win some souls for God because that's the journey he is on. Ebo Elders, thank you so much again. EboElders.com or TheGreatComeback.com. Congratulations not only on the anniversary to you and Amy, but for your first grandson. And I'm praying that everybody is healthy. And I'm just telling you that this boy is going to be spoiled like crazy. And I love that. So congratulations on that.
Yeah, we can't wait. Thank you so much, Mike. It's great to be on the show. I hope your listeners have been encouraged today.
Amen to that. Again, EboElders.com. Thanks for listening. This is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM. The Fan.
You've been listening to Faith in the Zone with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner. You can hear Faith in the Zone every Sunday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. To find past shows, exclusive podcasts, or to contribute with an inside tip on a guest, simply go to faithinthezone.com. Faith in the Zone is an inside look at people in sports and their walk in faith. Join us again next Sunday for Faith in the Zone, right here on 1250 AM, The Fan.
'Cause I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
When Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight, you picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world. Well, the moral of the story is, everybody's got a purpose.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.